Welcome once again to Saturday Java with Jason. I am Jason Coffee Man. This is where we meet with guests, drink coffee, and just have a great conversation.
Hey, I'm here with Patty Handy. She's a financial advisor, but now she turned into being a financial coach. We're going to be talking about investing and all that good stuff, but I know a lot of kids are getting out of school and college kids are getting out of college, and you also have the people out there that have been in the workforce for a while and need to know where to start investing. So we're going to talk about all that good stuff. To me, it's kind of interesting, so hopefully it's interesting to you. So I'm going to turn the time over really quick to Patty Handy, and she's going to give you an introduction of who she is, what she does, and all that good stuff.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you having me. Great to be here. So very high level, I come from a corporate banking background, pre-child. Post-child, I went into the mortgage industry and then on to financial services. I was a financial advisor. I left my firm last year to become a financial coach and life coach, which is really more of a financial strategist and educator. And life coach, I don't take in funds or invest money for clients. I teach them how to invest and how to understand their money. I find that most people aren't comfortable with that. And I can educate them, whether they use a financial advisor or not, it just puts them in a better place to understand what's happening with their money. And that's always a good thing. So that's a very abbreviated version of my history.
Okay. Now, you're saying a coach and advisor. I guess there's two different things. Really yes. Quick, can you just give a basis of what the difference is between an advisor or a coach? So if somebody needs to know who they want to talk to, it's either you or somebody else?
Sure, of course. So a financial advisor, when I was an advisor, I worked for a small boutique firm, and we actually took in clients' money. We managed the money. We advised on how to invest, what to invest. We did tax strategies. We discussed contributing to, IRAs and doing Roth conversions and all the tax strategies that can save you money. And we took in the funds and we managed the money. That's the biggest difference. As a financial coach, I don't take in any money. I don't manage funds. I don't hold anyone's assets. So I am more of an educator. So I teach them about what an IRA is versus a Roth IRA, what a Roth conversion means, what is a mutual fund versus a index fund versus an ETF. I kind of simplify the lingo that you hear out there when it comes to investing so that if they decide to meet with an advisor, they understand what they're discussing and they also know the right questions to ask. And it's very tied into life coaching as well. Oftentimes with clients, we'll have a meeting and there's no financial conversation at all. It's simply a conversation about life issues that they're having or work issues, or they want to start a new business or whatever's happening in their world. We deal as a coach too. We deal a lot with budgets. I deal a lot with the behavioral side of money, the money mindset, their money story. Not many financial advisors, get into the waters with that. There are some that do that. I have run across some that do that, but most of them, they're just focused on managing the assets, investing the assets, and then the strategies of tax, opportunities. But as a coach, I deal with their cash flow, helping them navigate day to day stuff, and that's not really in the best interest of a financial advisor. That's not really what they're paid to do. So we actually complement each other. My services and a financial advisor, we actually work together. To help a client. My services don't compete with theirs and vice versa.
Okay, that's awesome because, all right, I know that I just left a job and I had a 401k. Mm-hmm. So I'm losing money on that 401k. By the time I retire, if I leave it where it is, I won't have any money in it because I'm getting, I believe, 31 cents every so often. I don't want to say quarterly or anything like that, but I'm getting 31 cents. I made $12 last year and my annual fee is $45 to have it in that account. So I'm looking to move that anyway. So maybe we could talk about it a little bit like that because it's a 401k. So if I was going to take that money out and move it, would it be better to put that in a high risk account Or would it be better to put that into a low risk? Can you explain what that is so people don't understand exactly what I'm talking about?
Sure. So if you leave a firm and you have an old 401k, the returns that you express seem crazy in terms of the returns, because we had a decent year last year. So my question to you would be, you know, what exactly were you invested in? Were you invested in stocks, bonds? Was it, you know, sitting in cash? If it was sitting in cash, that, you know, that return makes sense. If it was sitting in the market, that return does not make sense. So, but you don't really want to leave an old 401k with an old employer anyways. Ideally, you want to have that moved out into a firm that you're working with, whether it's a Fidelity, a Vanguard, or Schwab, or if you go to a new employer and you go to a new 401k. But you basically want to roll that into an IRA, assuming it was a regular 401k and not a Roth 401k. If it was a Roth, you need to roll it into a Roth IRA. If it was a traditional 401k, you put it into, you know, a traditional IRA. And then once you have it transferred and it's sitting in, you know, Fidelity or Vanguard or Schwab or whoever, and it's sitting there, you know, usually it's sitting there in cash unless you transfer like for like, you've got to get it invested. You've got to put it to work. And the big question is like, okay, what do I do with this? Do I put it in stocks, bonds, mutual funds? How much and where? And that's a really loaded question. And it's going to depend on various factors. One is your age. One is your risk tolerance. One is how long you have until you need to pull money from those funds. The rule of thumb generally is if you're going to need those monies anywhere between the next 3 to 5 years, you don't want to put that in the stock market or in any kind of mutual fund. You want to keep it in bonds, which are very conservative, especially if you're dealing with government bonds, or in a money market if you need it, you know, really quickly and you're already at that retired level. But if you've got, you know, 10 years to go until you retire, and you can ride the waves of the up and down of the market, you can put, you know, a larger piece into a index fund, which are low cost, more passive types of funds, and get it invested in the market. So again, it's going to depend on, you know, for those listening who are coming out of college, it's going to be a very different conversation than somebody who's 65 and looking to retire and need those funds in the next 5 years. So if you're coming out of college, you've got decades before you're going to, you know, touch those monies. You can afford to ride the wave, and you can afford to put more into the market than in bonds. So, and again, you know, there's risk tolerance and cash flow. If you're already retired and you need money every month from your portfolio to live off of, then you're going to keep a, you know, that percentage of 5 to 7 years sitting in a bond fund or money market and pull from that to fund your daily living expenses. So there's many factors that go into it. There's no one size fits all. And there's no way to really answer your question specifically, Jason, based on your situation. I don't know the details of everything else. And then of course, what else you have in terms of other assets. If you have other assets invested in other funds, you know, how is that invested? So we look at the entire financial picture before we make any sort of judgment call when it comes to that.
Right. And that, I was just trying to get a feel for what, you know, because there's people out there, they'll be asking questions like that. And you kind of touched on the answer that I was looking for, because it's not a one size fits all. Right. Now, there are higher risks. Like there is the stock market. There is a high risk that does fluctuate. But I know there's things out there, like right now, you can get like a CD, and which is a certificate of deposit. You can have that. Some places do a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year. And I know once you get that locked in, it's a locked in rate. So if you don't want to have a fluctuate thing where you're kind of like, oh no, what is it going to be like? If, you can always do the CDs. You can always do stuff like that that is a guaranteed return.
Yeah, the only thing with a CD is that, yeah, they're very non-liquid. If you pull them out early, there's a pretty hefty penalty. And right now, with the date of this recording in early 2024, the high yield savings accounts and the money market accounts are actually paying more than the CDs. Now, the CDs are locked for a period of time where money market changes, you know, potentially daily. So you have that risk of, you know, wherever the rates are at, you get what, you know, whatever those rates are in the high yield savings account. But they are higher interest rates right now, and they're liquid. So if you need the money for something, some emergency comes up, you can pull it out, assuming it's not in a retirement account and you're, you know, not retired yet, then you can't touch that without a penalty. So CD is a decent option, but just be mindful that you have that time period that you are locked in. And if we think rates are going to go up or think, you know, rates are going to go down, it may or may not make sense. And the market, yes, the stock market is relatively risky because, you know, there's the ebbs and flows, and we've watched that. But if you look at the returns over the inception of the stock market, over time, it's averaged about 9 to 10%. We've had some years where it's down 20% and some years it's up 30%. Or more, or, you know, on both ends, up or down. But if you have that window, like I mentioned earlier, if you have that long-term horizon over 7 years, the stock market's going to give you your biggest bang for your buck because you are going to earn more over the longer term. If it's, you know, diversified well in a index fund or mutual fund or ETF, index funds are generally, again, more passive and they're lower in expense fees, which means more money in your pocket. The less fees you pay, the more money that you get to keep. So they all have a place in your portfolio. They all have a place depending upon, again, your personal situation, time to retirement, risk tolerance, cash flow needs, your other assets. All that is factors to consider before you invest in the market.
Now, we're throwing out terms right now. I know what you're talking about. I'm on the older age bracket. But you're going to have people out there like, what is she talking about? What is a 401k? What is a CD? What are mutual funds? So can you take a few minutes and actually break down what a 401k is? Because people are going to get into the workforce right now. The employer is going to say, in a year, you have a 401k. People I know don't know what that means. So can you break that down of what a pension kind of is? A lot of places don't offer pensions now. But can you break down some of those terms that you've been throwing out?
Sure. So a 401k is a beautiful thing. It's an opportunity for you to save for retirement through your employer. Oftentimes, employers have a match, which means that if you decide to contribute to the 401k, let's just say for conversation's sake, you contribute 10% of your salary every month to your 401k, they're going to automatically take that money out of your paycheck. If you invest in a traditional 401k, you get a tax benefit today for that, whatever you can contribute, and that money then grows tax deferred over time, and you don't touch it until you retire. When you retire, that money is taken out as ordinary income. Oftentimes, employers do a match. So if you put in, say, 10%, they may match 3% or 4% or 5%. That is free money. That's money that the employer is giving you for participating in the 401k, and they're just going to give you that money for free, 3% of your salary, and they'll match that. And oftentimes, you know, every employer is different, whether you're talking about a small employer or a big employer. They may or may not have a period of time that you have to wait until you can start the 401k. You might have to wait 6 months. They're going to make sure that you're going to stay on as an employee before they go through the, you know, the paperwork and everything to get you on a 401k. Sometimes there is a vesting period. So it just depends on the employer. I would definitely sit down with your HR person and ask for those specifics. Ask what the match is. Again, the match is free money. And if they say the match is 3% or 4%, make sure you invest or contribute, I should say, at least that much. If you only contribute 2% and the match is 5%, you don't get the benefit from the full 5%. Typically, they will only match to what you give. So you've got to put in at least the amount of the match for you to get the full match. So when you're starting out, if you go to an employer, absolutely sign up for that day one, because that is going to be an automatic investment vehicle for you that you won't even feel the money out of your paycheck. And then when you retire, you know, decades from now, you're going to have a nice lump sum. And then depending upon what type of 401k they have, they may have a Roth version 401k. That's a beautiful thing in itself. I'll kind of explain that a little bit. So with a Roth, you don't get the benefit today of a tax deduction. So there's no tax advantage today, but now that money is growing tax-free all the years that you're investing, all the gains, all the dividends, all the compounding interest, all that is growing tax-free. And when you go to retire and pull money out, it's not ordinary income. It is just tax-free money, which is golden, because all the growth of those decades of the money working for you, it's tax-free, which is absolutely perfection. So ask your employer if they have a Roth 401k option. And, seriously consider that option, because that's a gift.
And it does compound. So you're not just talking, if you put away, say, 20 bucks a week, it's not 20 bucks a week for a year times 40. There's interest on that. So by the time you get it done, you could have a couple $1 million in that account if it's done correctly.
Yeah, it depends on how much you're putting every month. And it's absolutely, yes, the beauty of compounding is all the dividends that your funds are earning. It's all the capital gains. It's all the interest. It's all of that that's compounding. So I did an analysis recently, or not an analysis, an example. I think it was $200 a month for 40 years. And it was like $91,000 of their own money. I'm going by my memory here. It was like $90,000 of their own money. But when they retired in 40 years, the value is just shy of a million, right about a million. So if you think about that, you only put $91,000 of your own money, but you've got a million. So the rest of that is just all the money, the market working for you. Really, really hard for you, and you're not working hard for your money. So it's absolutely a beautiful thing. There's tons of online calculators online. You can jump on, just do, compounding interest calculator, and you can throw in some examples. If I put in $200 a month, if I put in $100 a month, and whatever it is, and then you put the number of years you have, and it'll pop out what you're going to have at the end of whatever it is, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. So you have an idea of what you can expect. There's no guarantees in the stock market, of course, but over time you can expect, if we're looking at what's happened in the past, we can the expectation is that it's going to be quite similar.
Right. And one of the things I heard that sounds really good, I can't remember who said it. That's not important. But one of the things is take your 60% of your pay, whatever that is. That is what you live on. So that's including rent, gas, all that stuff. Then you save 20% of your paycheck. Put that into an IRA, bank account, or something like that. Don't touch it. And then you live on 20%. So, you can have 20% for play money, whatever you get. So if you make 100 bucks a week, you live on $60. $20 goes into savings, then $20 for play money, whatever you want to get, if you want to go out to eat or whatever. But that right there is a good way to save if you can do it.
Yeah, there's different schools of thought on how to allocate your assets with that regard. A lot of times, depending upon what someone's earning, they might need to up that 60% or $60 based on what their expenses are. I generally don't suggest 20% play money. That's a lot of play money. Now that could be broken down into like travel funds. That could be broken down into tithing. That could be broken down into, other things. Living off of, Ideally, 60% would be great. The savings piece is important, and then you know, you definitely want to include the contributions to the community, the tithing, gift money, spending, and yes, fun money. So again, it's I dig a little bit deeper into how we really break that down. And yeah, but savings, I always say savings need to be first. Before you pay your mortgage, you put money in savings. And I always recommend it be done automatically, which means you just connect your checking account to your investment account. And every month at a certain date, you have money transferred automatically. So you're not thinking about it. Because if you don't do that and you wait for all, your bills to be paid and you wait for whatever's left to invest, you'll never invest. It just doesn't happen. So pay yourself first.
Right. It kind of, and is, if it comes directly out of your payroll that I know a lot of companies do, you don't even see it. So you don't even really miss it. And if you really think about how much money that you waste a week, like there's people that go out for coffee and they spend $5 a day. That's $35 a week. If you don't have that coffee, that's $35 a week you could put into your 401k or whatever you have for retirement. And that right there can add up after time too.
Yeah, people's spending habits are something that we definitely look at. And that's part of what a financial coach does that a financial advisor typically doesn't, is to sort of determine where we can cut back if we need to cut back at all, for, building up that savings account, paying off credit card debt, or whatever we're trying to do. Looking at ways that we can pull back, whether it's the coffee, whether it's dining out, whatever it is. A lot of people have lots of subscriptions to different, movies and various things like that, and they don't realize it. And if you're trying to pay off credit card debt and you can't figure out, why you can't get out from underneath it, that's what we, look at. And I remind people too that it's, if we have to pull back and it's not really a fun thing, because no one likes to live a restricted life, that's just not any fun. I remind them that it's temporary. This is not a lifelong situation, especially if they're trying to get out of credit card debt. If they have to do some, short-term, unfortunate, decisions or things that make them unhappy, it's just to get them out of that credit card debt, and then they can loosen up the reins a bit and, start to, get back to enjoying some things in life. But there's so many things that happen in a person's life. So depending upon where you are, what you've got going on, we look at all that and determine, the best course of action to take. And again, that's more of what a coach helps with than a financial advisor.
And to talk about subscriptions, I think you're looking at one of my accounts because I have a lot of subscriptions. And that's one thing I think that is killing me. But, doing podcasts, you got to do it. But you're talking about things like Netflix, stuff like that. And there's a lot of subscriptions people have that they don't even use anymore, that they are just having on the back burner. And a lot of them don't even know that they're still being charged for them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I always recommend that individuals go back about 3 months on both their bank statements, which shows their debit transactions and their, online banking, and then the credit card statements. And sometimes just going through there and highlighting different categories brings to light the services that they didn't realize they were charging, that they were being charged. So, whether it's, like a Hulu, a Netflix, a Disney Plus, an Apple, whatever, there's so many different ones. And if you're using them for work or using them for things all the time, then that's one thing. But if you just have them and you forgot, you don't use it anymore, that's just money on the drain. So definitely be mindful of that.
And we're not saying to cancel all of them or anything like that. We're just telling you that, look, you could save without putting yourself into the hole. We're not telling you to stop, stop your Netflix, stop this, stop that, and just sit around twiddling your thumbs. We're saying stop the things that you're not using, the things that are costing you money, because that money that you're being charged can go into savings.
Yeah. Savings, investing, paying down debt, setting up an emergency account, Yeah, all those things. And yes, by no means am I saying, you know, you've got to live this life where you have no fun. That's not good. But it's just addressing those situations during a time when you might need to, again, pay off credit card debts or build up a savings account or whatever the case is. Because I mean, you know, we want to enjoy our life, right? It's not about being so restricted and being on this very, very strict diet. It's really just being mindful and aware of what's happening with your money.
Now, I want to talk about one thing that I always see, and to me, I think it needs to be addressed. And that is the people out there that play the stock market, and they play 1, 2, 3 stocks. That's not what we're talking about right now, because the people that play those stocks, it's kind of a gamble. We're talking about play the stock market by what's called mutual funds, S&Ps, which is service and products, stuff like that, where you're buying 30, 40, 50 stocks at a time. That's what your account is based upon. When you start playing the 1, 2 stocks at a time, watching those, you really have to know what you're doing, because you could lose a lot of money doing that.
Well, yeah, it depends. If you're just trying to you know, pick a particular stock and ride that wave without truly understanding both the technical analysis and the fundamental analysis, meaning the, you know, the books of the company and the stock charts of that company, you're just kind of throwing darts to the wind. Now, there are some, you know, clients that we had that were very aware of the nuances of each company. And, you know, some did well, some got hurt, some did well. But for the average investor who just wants to be well diversified in a fund where, you know, oftentimes there's hundreds of different companies, the S&P 500, it's actually Standard & Poor's 500, that's 500 different companies within this, you know, S&P 500 index fund. So now your risk is spread out over 500 companies. So if one of the companies tanks, you know, it's a little, you know, impact on you versus if you had all money into that one company. There's hundreds and hundreds of different funds. Each one of those funds have hundreds of stocks and companies. There's various sectors. So if you like technology, if you like healthcare, if you like, I mean, there's just so many. there's just so many. Where, you know, if you feel like, oh, technology, you know, Facebook, Amazon, you know, they're going to just kill it. Then, you know, that's one thing. But again, if you are in a fund, whether it be a mutual fund, an ETF or an index fund, those are all hundreds of different, you know, choices. And within those choices, there's oftentimes hundreds of funds within those funds. So, or different companies, I should say, within those funds. So, you need to do your homework. You need to understand what you're getting into. And the name of the game is being well diversified. There's also being diversified in international markets, not just staying in the US. So if you want to have some international, you've got to look at that. You've got to have some in bonds if you want a stable, more, you know, secure and a little bit more stable. Yeah, and again, that comes down to really analyzing an individual's portfolio, their circumstances, their cash flow needs, their age. And although as a financial coach, I can help them understand that, I cannot advise them and say, okay, I want you to put X number of dollars into this ABC fund. That's advising, and then I'm crossing the muddy waters, if you will. So I will then refer them to a financial advisor that can help them actually invest those monies for them and advise on how to diversify and what specifically to invest in, and, you know, take care of those funds overall.
Okay, Patty, what was your first job?
My first job was Sir Fish and Chips. I came home smelling like fish every day. I think I was 15 years old. It was a small little shop near my home I could walk to. And I was a cook and a server and ran the cash register. they let us bring home free food at the end, whatever was left. So I would come home with greasy, nasty food every night. So that was my first job.
What is your favorite season?
My favorite season is fall. I love the changing of the colors. I love the crisp air. I love knowing the holidays are coming, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, all that's coming. So the fall is my favorite, and spring is my very close second.
What's your favorite food?
Chocolate. It should be a food group.
Who's your hero?
My hero, I would say my mom. My mom and my dad. My dad passed a few years ago, but both were very impactful in my life. And I had it's a tie between them, my mom and dad.
What is your favorite dessert?
Oh, I would probably say chocolate souffle.
What time do you wake up?
Well, if I had a good night's sleep, then it's usually around 5:30 or 6. If I had an unfortunate night and I was up over, the middle of the night for a few hours, it's a little later than that. It's more like 7. But if I go to bed at a decent hour and I sleep through the night, which is not very common, it's about 5:30 or 6. I've always been a morning person. My very first job out of college was in an investment banking firm where I had to be at work at 5:30 in the morning, and it was about an hour from my home. So I was up at 3 getting dressed. So I was very young then, and I could do that.
What movie do you quote the most?
What movie do I quote the most? Ooh, I'm not sure I quote a movie. I probably quote more podcast hosts or podcasts. I love The Blind Side. That comes to mind.
Are you a night in or are you a night out?
I'm a night in person.
Are you a thinker or are you a doer?
Ooh, I think I'm both. I'm both. I mean, I probably overthink, and it's hard for me to sit still. So I'm definitely a doer. I'm going to split that half and half.
Do you learn by watching or do you learn by doing?
More doing.
When you go swimming, do you tiptoe in or dive in?
I will tiptoe in. I always do it the painful way. Yeah, I tiptoe in.
What is your guilty pleasure?
There again, it's chocolate. I'm truly a chocoholic.
What motivates you?
What motivates me is the impact that I'm making in the world.
What is your deepest fear?
My deepest fear is, there's quite a few that come to mind. It's reality. It's the loss of a loved one. But I know that, we all experience it. So, the loss or health challenge of a loved one.
How do you want to be remembered?
Somebody who was very caring and generous and compassionate.
On your gravestone, what is something you would want written for people that don't know you to be like, oh, this was Patty?
She gave her all to everyone.
And what do you care the most about?
My loved ones, my family and friends.
Yeah, you just mentioned family and friends a lot on that. And I'm going to give you a moment here. Talk about whatever you care about the most. That could be you. That could be retirement. That can be, setting people up for retirement. That could be whatever you want. I'm going to give you a moment to ramble on about whatever you care the most about.
What I care most about? Taking care of my family and friends, making sure that, they're healthy and safe. when it comes to my clients, I want to make sure that they're feeling very fulfilled, and I positively impacted them, and they feel like they are in a better place because they worked with me. I want to leave, you know, the legacy that I want to leave is one that, you know, that I'm proud of. And that is that I have, you know, again, given my all to help others. I really, come from a place of service, and that brings me joy.
That's so cool. Yeah. I see from talking to you for this little while that that really does bring you joy. One thing that gets me is I listened to a few things about retirement, and a lot of the things are speaking, I want to say, speaking as in a lot of fraudulent things, that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that because of this, you shouldn't do that because of that. So I want you to kind of clarify that. A lot of the people that speak about this online have real no aspect of financial advisors. A lot of them are young people that don't really know how to really advise people on how to retire. When you look for somebody like that, you want to look with somebody that is an accredited person that does have experience with dealing with finances, because you don't want to just listen to anybody. You want to listen to people that actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, there is a there's definitely a lot of online noise out there. And you know, depending upon who you want to follow or learn from, you definitely want to look at their credentials and what they've where they come from.
And we could tell that you are accredited. So I'm going to have you give a plug now. I know you told me off the air that you have a free download on your website. Can you tell people about that, what that is, and, you know, give them a little heads up on that?
Sure. So on the homepage of my website, which is just my name, pattyhandy.com, it's P-A-T-T-I-H-A-N-D-Y. I have an ebook that I wrote. It says it's Women Soaring Solo. It's a financial guide. It was written for ladies who are going through divorce or widowed or going, you know, soaring solo in life. The information in there is really applicable to anybody. However, I'm speaking to the single woman who is, you know, again, gone through divorce or lost their spouse. And now they're trying to deal with money and they're starting over again. And then there's a short training video. It's about 30, 35 minute training video that's super impactful of, you know, good information. And that's all, you know, free as well. So just go to the website homepage, click on the download the link. You'll get the email with the ebook, and then you'll be able to watch a free training.
Okay, again, that's P-A-T-T-I-H-A-N-D-Y. Yes.
Correct. .com. Correct.
.com. And are you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, any of that, where people could find you?
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter. I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn the most. But I do have a Instagram account and Facebook, yes, and it's just my name. If you go to my website, you'll see my picture. Actually, on my website, there's links to all of those at the very bottom of the page. There's links to those different social sites.
Okay, thank you so much, Patty Handy. This has been awesome. Again, she's a financial advisor turned financial coach. So I'd like to thank her about being on, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate it.
I'm always looking for likes, shares, and reviews. Please give it a share and a review. 5 stars really does help. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, refill both of our coffees. See you next week, where we can listen once again. Please follow us on Saturday Java with Jason on Facebook and Instagram. And please follow me on Facebook at Jason Coffee Man.